of good news.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's been a lot of bad news lately that's been just circulating in the media, on TV, on social media, on your feed. A lot of bad news. But, you know, tonight, I feel like the Lord, earlier this week as I prayed and I was praying and getting ready for tonight, I feel like the Lord was leading me to just share this message on the good news. Amen. The good news. Amen. Because there's a lot of good news out there. Despite what the media tells you and what you see going on in your social media. Listen, there's a lot of good news out there. Amen. And so I titled this message tonight, Good News. Somebody say, Good News.
Good news.
Come on, write it in the comments. Good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we want to thank all you that are tuning in. Amen. We know that many of you are tuning in. And we want to shout out to you guys. Amen. All you, we see your names pop up. And listen, we're praying for you. Amen. We're praying for you. And as we begin to see your name there, amen, we begin to pray. We begin to intercede. We want to remind you that also you can text in your prayer request. Amen. And we're going to continue to pray for you. Amen. So I'm excited tonight. And if you have your Bibles, you know, I want you to grab your Bibles and go to the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 10 here tonight. And I'm going to preach this message entitled Good News. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And as you make your way there, I want to encourage you to grab your Bible. Amen. I know that, you know, we've been having our Friday night online service, our Sunday morning online service. And I want to encourage you, especially for those that are a part of our church, Victory Arch Grand Prairie. It's so important that we continue to be disciples, that we continue to be students of God's word. And that we continue to stay faithful to our Friday night service. Amen. That even though we can't come to the building, amen, that you still have Friday night service right there in the palm of your hand, on your TV, on your smart TV. And we're still serving the Lord. We're still going to service even though it's online. And what that means is that you also got to continue to bring your Bible. Come on, somebody. You got to continue to take notes. You got to continue to listen to the word of God. You also got to continue to praise and continue to worship with us as we sing along. Praise the Lord. And you also got to continue to give your tithes and give your offerings. Amen. Everything that you experience when you come to the house of God, you got to continue to do right there from your home or if you're on the go. Amen. You got to continue to do there. Amen. So I encourage you, amen, to continue to stay strong as a Christian and continue to stay plugged in. Stay plugged into your church. Amen. Praise the Lord. By you tuning in is you staying plugged into your church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So continue to tune every Friday night, 7:30. Amen. Sometimes we start a little early at 7. And then also Sunday mornings. Amen. We'll be here at 11 a.m. Sunday morning for our online Sunday morning service. And then every other Sunday, we're doing our parking lot praise. Praise the Lord. And so I'm excited for May 24th. We're going to have Evangelist Scott Hinkle with us. And he's going to be preaching. He's excited to be here with us. Amen. So I want you to invite somebody. Invite somebody. Tell them to come in their car. They can stay in their car and hear a powerful service, hear a powerful sermon. Experience the presence of God through praise and worship as we stay safe, socially distanced in our parking lot. Praise. Amen. So we're excited for that. Amen. So I hope that you're ready for tonight for God's word. I pray that your hearts are open right there where you're at. Amen. I'm going to say a word of prayer and I'm going to pray that God will minister to our hearts. Father, Lord, we thank you here tonight. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, all those that are tuned in, that are logged in, that are going to log in, all those that are here helping us, God. Lord, we pray that you would just move in a special way. We pray that you would speak to the homes, God. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just move in a special way here tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Somebody say good news. Come on, somebody. See, I want you to know that heaven broadcasts good news. Come on, give me some amens. Come on now. Come on, I need the church here and the church to help me. Come on, help me preach. Amen. You know, it's already kind of hard, amen, just not having some amens, but at least those that are here can say amen. Come on now. I think sometimes they get caught up on their phones, amen. And I know you're getting excited in your house, but I want you to know that heaven broadcasts good news.
That's
Tonight, what is being broadcast into your home, into the palm of your hand, I want you to know what's being broadcast is good news.
Right.
Now, the earth broadcasts bad news.
Yep.
But heaven broadcasts is good news. That's what the angel said. That's what the angel brought in Luke 2:10. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." The angel said, "I bring you good news." Because heaven broadcasts good news. It's here on this earth that bad news is broadcast. Why? Because we live in a temporal, fragile, downtrodden world. Oh, but listen, for those that are in heaven, I want you to know that if you have a family member in heaven, they ain't hearing bad news no longer. They are hearing the good news that come from the angels, that come from all those that are there in those clouds. Heaven broadcasts good news. You know, the word gospel means good news.
Right.
The enemy, I want you to know, always opposes God.
Yeah.
He always counter-reacts against what God does and is. This is why the mass media and the world always pushes bad news. Because the enemy always counter-reacts what God does. God is speaking good news, but the enemy is speaking bad news. We have to remember that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. It is the devil that rules the airs. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, for the last 2 months, God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has taken over the enemy's camp, has taken over the power of the air. And all of a sudden now there's a lot of good news that is being preached and being broadcast. There's a lot of good news, but the enemy still has his bad news, because the enemy's always going to counter-react with the goodness that God tries to do. The word gospel means good news. I want you to know that for every bad news that's out there, God got good news that is based on his word and based on his truth.
Right.
See, for example, the world says that corona is going to get you sick. God says, "I am your healer." The world says corona is going to kill you. God says, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." Even eternal life. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
See, the world says the economy is going to crash and you won't survive. But God says, "You live in my economy. And I've called you to be the head and not the tail. Above and not on bottom. The lender, not the borrower." See, that's the good news of God. But the bad news of the world says, see, the world condemns you. But God, through Jesus Christ, acquits you. The world says, "You can't have church." God says, "You are the church." Oh, you ain't hearing me. Come on, you ain't hearing me. Give me an amen on them comments. Come on, somebody. See, the world says there's a food crisis. There ain't going to be no more meat. There ain't going to be no more food. But God says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Somebody say amen.
Yes.
See, good news is good because God is good.
Right.
I said, God is good.
Yes.
Listen, we need to hear more testimonies of the goodness of God. We need to hear more stories of how God has been good. I know God has still been good to you. Come on. Somebody needs to testify on those comments how good God has been to them. You need to testify how God blessed you. You need to testify how God healed you. You need to testify how God saved your marriage. You need to testify how you still feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. We need to hear more testimonies of the goodness of God. We hear a lot of bad stuff. We need to hear the good news. I want you to know that what you put in is what comes out. What you put in is what comes out. In other words, you are what you eat. So what have you been feeding on lately? What have you been eating lately? Have you been eating everything that the media's been feeding you? Everything that, all that bad news, my friend. Listen, we can't be a Debbie Downer. We have to learn to feed on God's word. Feed on God's promises. Because when you feed on the word and when you feed on God's promises, it lifts up your spirit. Listen, there's something about the spirit of man that when you're in good spirits, that spirit can sustain you. But when you're all down and all depressed and all going through it because of all the bad news that you're hearing, it's a no wonder your face is downcast. It's a no wonder why you're worrying and stressed, my friend. We need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to feed on the promises of God's word. We need to feed on God's word. We need to feed on worship. Why do we need to feed on worship? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Oh, you ain't hearing me. We need to feed on worship because he inhabits the praises of his people. Listen, all of a sudden when you get into the presence of God, all of a sudden when you step into the presence of God, anxiety gots to flee, fear gots to flee, sickness and disease gots to flee. Why? Because it cannot stand the presence of God. So I encourage you to feed on worship, my friend. Put yourself in that worship posture and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You also need to feed on preachings. Preachings, good old preachings like the one you're hearing tonight. Come on, somebody. You need to feed on the preaching of the word of God because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. If you listen, I don't care what problem you may have. I don't care what mountain you're facing. Jesus said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, be ye removed and be cast into the sea, and that mountain has to obey you. Therefore, listen, if you want that mustard-sized faith, you need to feed on the preaching of God's word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Somebody shout amen. You also need to feed on prayer and fasting. It's time to stop feasting and it's time to start fasting. See, because fasting and prayer, it strengthens your spirit man. I don't know about you, but I need my spirit man to be strong. It ain't a time for your spirit man to be weak. It ain't a time for your spirit man to go dim, that fire to go dim. It's at a time like this, come on somebody, where the Christian needs to have a strong spirit. Listen, and we need to be strong in the Holy Spirit. We need to be strong in the Holy Ghost, my friend. And so therefore, you need to feed on some fasting and some prayer, my friend. Get away from the feasting. Push that dinner plate away. Come on. Push that breakfast away. Push that sandwich away. And bring in the Bible. And get in there with God, my friend. What this world needs is good news. This world needs good news. You know, the English word evangelism comes from the Greek word evangelizo.
Okay.
Evangelizo, which is often translated in English. In English Bibles, it's translated as preach the gospel.
Oh, come on now.
Preach the gospel. Evangelizo comes from the word evangelion, which means gospel. Follow me now. Don't turn me off. Come on, somebody. Thus, listen to this. Thus, when you think about all this, evangelize literally means to gospelize. Oh, come on, somebody. I know some of you are like, that ain't even a word, Pastor. Yes, it is. Come on, somebody. It's a Christian word. It's called Christianese. Come on, somebody. It's called gospelize. So evangelize literally means to gospelize. Listen, this doesn't mean to spread gossip. Come on now. Because that's not the type of good news I'm talking about. Some people think that gossip is good news. That's the problem. Come on, somebody. That's the problem. Our ears are itching to hear gossip, but that ain't the good news. Listen, my friend, the good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and on the third day he resurrected so that you can live and your sins can be swiped away.
That's right.
Now, you got to remember that the Greek word for gospel means good news. But listen to this. The Greek word for gospel means good news. But the English word for gospel, get this now, the English word for gospel means this. It means God spell. God spell. Or God story. Come on, somebody. Follow me now. Don't run away now. Follow me. There's too many people who are under the wicked spell of the mass media. There's too many people that are under the wicked spell of the mass media. And this spell brings death, brings stress, brings worry, and brings sickness. There's too many are listening to all the stories of the media and Hollywood and the prince of the power of the air. But I'd rather be under God's spell. Come on, somebody. If I'm going to be under a spell, I'd rather be under the spell of God. Come on, somebody. I'd rather be under God's spell, which is the good news of eternal life in heaven, where there is no sickness, no sin, and no Satan. Come on, somebody. See, the media and the prince of the power of the air for decades have been using television. Television. For decades, the media and the prince of the power of the air has been using television to tell their vision.
Oh, hello. Wow. Say it again.
They've been pumping their vision into us. They've been pumping their vision into our children. They've been pumping it into our lives since we were way little. Come on, somebody. Why? Because they know the more they tell their vision, the more people will buy into their vision. But their vision brings death, divorce, drug addiction, violence, pornography, greed, selfishness, and the pride of life, and even godlessness. But I'm here to declare to you, now is the time.
Right.
Now is the time for the church of God to tell God's vision. You ain't hearing me. It's time for the church of God to tell God's story. It's time for us to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, the Savior, died on the cross to save them from their sinful sins, to save them from their sins, and so that they can have eternal life and serve Jesus.
Right.
See, God's vision delivers from death, divorce, drug addiction, violence, pornography, greed, selfishness, and the pride of life. That's what God's vision does. God's vision delivers us from all the madness and all the death that sin brings. This is why there's so much addiction. This is why there's so much pain in this world. Why? Because for decades, the devil, the prince of the power of the air, has been pumping his vision into our houses and into our homes through the Disney movies and the Disney Channel and Hollywood and all that junk. I love to watch movies, my friend. But listen, I understand the fake when I see it. I understand a lie when I see it. And when I see a lie in a movie or a lie in the TV, I call it for what it is. I stand on God's truth. I don't let it penetrate my mind or penetrate my heart or change the way I think about God, because I stand on the vision that God has given us.
Good, Pastor.
See, God's vision is for you to have a personal relationship with Him. God's vision is for you to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants to be personal. He wants to be your personal friend. He wants to be your BFF. He wants to be your ace kumboon. He wants to be intimate with you. God's vision, and when He does, all that junk begins to fall off. When He does, you change. And when you change, my friend, things begin to change around you, my friend. All of a sudden, you're able to have a great marriage and a great family, and you're able to be a better person. Why? Because God's vision is permeating your life. God's vision is for you to have a personal relationship with Him that will give you peace and give you a plan to prosper. To prosper in your marriage, to prosper in your family, to prosper in your finances, and to prosper in your personal life. Ever since I got a relationship with Jesus, ever since I adopted God's vision into my life, I've been prospering. I've been prospering financially. I've been prospering in my personal life. I've been prospering in my marriage and in my family. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus, my friend. I don't claim to have the answers. I don't know it all, but I know this: Jesus can change your life. I know this: Jesus can give you a prosperous future. The media and the world is in cahoots with the devil, the prince of the power of the air. They're in cahoots to tell their destructive vision. But we as the church and the Christians should be in cahoots with God to tell God's vision of eternal life and salvation from hell and sin. Our vision, listen, I'm here to tell you that our vision as the people of God, God's vision is not destructive but productive. Did you get that?
Say that again.
God's vision is not destructive but productive for all eternity. If you're living in the destructive vision of this world and of the devil, it's time to get out.
Right.
It's time to get out of that life and give your life to Jesus today so He can give you eternal life and peace and joy and true prosperity in Him. Listen, I'm here to testify because I used to live in the devil's vision. I bought hook, line, and sinker to the devil's vision early on when I was 12 and 13 and 14 years old. I bought into the devil's vision when I seen movies like Colors and New Jack City and American Me and Bound by Honor. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. When I seen that, I said, that's the gang member I want to be. That's the drug dealer I want to be. That's the gangster I want to be. And I started to model myself off of what the television was telling me to be. Come on, you ain't hearing me. Come on, somebody. I started to live that life because I bit into that vision, my friend. I bit into the party life vision. When I see them partying on TV, I said, oh, that looks like fun. That looks like the life that I want. Oh, but listen, I found out real quick that life brought death. That life brought death. That's why I went to prison. That's why I was in and out of jail. That's why I was in probation. That's why my relationships didn't last. That's why I was a bad father. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not that gang. I'm not that gangster. I'm not that person. No, but you're still biting into the apple of Hollywood. Hollywood don't tell you to go to church. Hollywood don't tell you to read your Bible. Hollywood don't tell you to pray. They tell you to have all kinds of wives. And it doesn't matter how many divorces you have. And it's okay. Come on. It's okay for this for you to have a messed up family and a divided family. Listen, that's a lie from the pits of hell. God wants to save your marriage. He wants to save your family because He understands the drama that it will cause you and cause your children and cause all those around you. Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't going to hear this in Hollywood. You ain't going to hear this on the 4 o'clock news, on the 5 o'clock news, my friend. You're not going to hear it there, my friend. You're going to hear it in the house of God. You're going to hear it from the man of God. You're going to hear it from the people of God.
Come on.
You got to give your life to Jesus. If you're living that life, Get away from that life and accept Jesus into your heart. It's as simple as just saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. That's all you got to do.
Right.
You know, since the world needs good news, can we agree that the world needs good news?
Yes.
Since the world needs good news, we as the church need to gospelize the world. We need to gospelize the world. Or in other words, we need to evangelize the world.
Right.
We need to evangelize. We should evangelize.
Yes.
I don't care if we're on quarantine. Come on, somebody. Evangelism don't stop. Right. Souls and people are still dying and cracking hell wide open. Listen, we as a church still need to evangelize. We still need to preach to people, even if it's on Facebook Live, Zoom, instant message, DM message, text message, a phone call. We still need to preach. We still need to evangelize. Even if you're at the gas station, you got your mask on, you need to preach the gospel. Come on, somebody. We should evangelize. Why should we evangelize? We should evangelize to follow Jesus' example, church. Come on, Christian. Are you watching?
Yeah.
We call ourselves Christian. What does that mean? That means we're followers of Christ.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. If you're a real follower of Christ, you'll be an you'll do evangelism.
Yes. Yes.
Not everybody is called to be an evangelist, but everybody's called to evangelize.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me say that one more time. Not everybody's called to be an evangelist, but everybody's called to evangelize.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
And why should we evangelize? Because we should follow the example of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. After his resurrection, see, Paul said it, that we should follow the example of Christ. But then Jesus, after he resurrected, Jesus appeared to his disciples and said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, peace be with you.
Come on.
As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Did you get that? Huh? As the Heavenly Father has sent me into this earth, he says, I am sending you. See, that is, what does that mean? That means that he was sending the disciples to complete the task that he had begun.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus wanted the disciples to imitate his example. He wanted the disciples to follow his example. That's why he spent so much time with his disciples, because he wanted them to catch his way of life. And Jesus lived a life of prayer and evangelism.
Yes.
That's what Jesus was all about. Listen, he was the Word. Come on, somebody. He was the Word. The faith. He was the living Word. The Word was inside of him. It just oozed out of him. But he modeled prayer and evangelism. Why did Jesus, ask yourself, why did Jesus, the Son of God, leave beautiful heaven, the streets of gold, a place where there was no sorrow, no sin, no pain, no sickness, no disease, no evil, no wickedness? Why did Jesus leave beautiful heaven to come to this dirty, sinful earth? And Luke 19 verse 10, he gives us the answer. It says, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You get that? That's why he came. That's why he left beautiful heaven. He came to seek you. He came to seek you, my friend. He came to save you. Those of you that are lost, he came to save you. You've just been scrolling by. Come on. You're not a Christian. You see, there's too many people that call themselves Christian. You know that in the Bible, Jesus preached to a lot of religious folk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did. Huh? Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus thought he was saved. There's a lot of people just because they know the term God, they know the word God, they have a little knowledge. Come on, somebody. They think that they have a relationship with Jesus, but they couldn't be farther away from the truth, my friend. I'm not talking about knowing the word God and knowing about the Bible. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about having assurance of salvation. I'm talking about believing the word of God and believing what God says about you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a bold faith. I'm talking about taking a stand for God. I'm talking about living for God. A lot of people that Jesus ministered, they didn't have that type of faith. This is why Jesus had to preach to them. There's some of you that are watching that you might be a friend of ours on Facebook, but you haven't gotten saved. You haven't surrendered your life to Christ. You need to surrender your life to Christ and have a relationship with Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus left heaven to see the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus, he modeled evangelism for us. And tonight I want to give you five ways he modeled it. Number one, he modeled evangelism. And the way he did evangelism, he modeled no sugarcoating evangelism. That's number one. No sugarcoated evangelism. Let me say it one more time. No sugar-coated preaching. No sugar-coated Christian. No sugar-coated discipleship. No sugar-coated words. I ain't sugar-coating my words tonight.
Come on.
You know, sugar makes it taste good. Come on, somebody. That's why, you know, when you're a little baby, for the little babies, come on, somebody. And the little babies, you know, they don't really want to drink their milk. They put a little honey on the teta. Huh? Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on, somebody, right? You remember, huh? They put a little honey on it, right? Or if they don't want to take their medicine, you put a little honey on it, right? So they can take their medicine. It's called sugarcoating it. Jesus didn't sugarcoat the gospel. He didn't sugarcoat his message. Jesus called people to a life of sacrificial discipleship. In the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38, listen to what Jesus said here. He says, then he called the crowd to him, a crowd, huh? Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. And he said, he's speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to that evangelistic event that he's at. And he didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't care if he hurt somebody's feelings. He wasn't there to tickle somebody's ears. Listen to what he said. He says he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. He's telling the disciples too. He's telling those that are around him too. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. There's too many Christians trying to save their life. There's too many people trying to save their life. Come on, somebody. Listen, this ain't a popular message in the church today. Come on, somebody. Listen, people don't want to hear about carrying their cross. People don't want to hear about sacrifice. But that's what Jesus preached, my friend. He says, if you ain't willing to pick up your cross daily. In other words, you don't get no break. You don't get a flesh break. I said it. You don't get a flesh break. Come on, somebody. Huh? He says, if they're not willing to pick up their cross daily, they're not worthy of me. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world? Huh? Doesn't it sound like that? Sometimes we have people and they want to gain the whole world. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Jesus didn't sugarcoat the message. Jesus, he challenged the rich young ruler, remember? The rich young ruler? What did he say? What did he tell him? He challenged him to give up his wealth. Huh? This is why some people, listen, we talk about money, people get funny. Come on, somebody. Talk about change. People get strange. Jesus says, give it up. Give up your wealth. Give all your wealth to the poor and come follow me. Come on, somebody. But people get all funny when the pastor or the preacher starts talking about tithing. Huh? Come on, come on, come on. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Say ay, ay, ay. Come on now. Say, take it easy, pastor. No, I'm not going to take it easy. We need a strong church right now. The world needs a strong church. They don't need a weak church. We need to be Christians and are strong in our faith. And we're willing to take up our cross so that the gospel can be preached. Jesus challenged the rich young ruler to give up his wealth. And then he challenged James and John, the disciples. He challenged them to give up their fishing nets. You know what that represented? That represented their livelihood. Huh? He challenged them to give up their fishing nets and to follow him. Come on, somebody. Listen, God is challenging the Christians today. God is challenging the church today to give up. He might be challenging you to give up your life. What is he challenging you to do? What is he telling you to give up? Is it that sin? Is it that secret sin? Is it wealth? Is it that relationship? Is it that stinking thinking? What is he challenging you to give up? He challenged the disciples to give up their livelihood. Maybe God, I believe God is still doing the same thing today. Yeah. I believe Jesus still calls people to leave their livelihood and to come follow him and to be fishers of men. Come on, somebody. Right. Where are those that are called? Where are those that are willing to lay their life down and say, God, I'm going to leave all I know to follow you. When I came to God, all I knew was to slang dope. When I came to God, all I knew was to be a gangster and a hustler. That's all I knew. God said, you need to give that up. And I said, what? What are you talking about, God? That's my livelihood.
Wow.
He said, no, you need to give that up and come follow me. Come on, somebody. And I'm gonna take you from slanging dope to preaching hope.
Oh, come on now.
In other words, I'm gonna make you a fisher of men. What is Jesus challenging you? He challenged all his disciples to fully commit their lives to him and to his kingdom. He didn't sugarcoat the message. Wait, listen. If we're gonna preach this good news, we can't sugarcoat it.
Right.
This good news, it's what I call bittersweet. It's bitter when you taste it and when you ingest it. But when you let it in, oh, it's sweet, baby. Come on, somebody. We're the opposite. We want it to be sweet on the way in. Come on, somebody. Huh? No. Listen, this message can't be sugarcoated. Number two, get this. Number two, the way Jesus modeled evangelism, if you missed it, it was that he didn't sugarcoat. He didn't sugarcoat discipleship or preaching. He didn't sugarcoat Christianity. Number two, the way he modeled evangelism is that he had 24/7 evangelism.
Wow.
He did 24/7 evangelism. He was ready in season and out of season, my friend. Yeah. In other words, he had nonstop constant evangelism. That's what Victory Outreach Grand Perry has been doing. They told us we couldn't have church. We didn't stop preaching. We came into your home through Facebook Live, through YouTube Live, and we're still continuing. This is a form of spreading the gospel, my friend. Not only that, we still are out there. We did a parking lot praise service. We were out there putting up posters. Come on, we're out there. Why? Because, see, listen, evangelism doesn't stop, my friend. It's constant evangelism. Jesus did it, and we should do it too.
Yes.
He spoke to the Samaritan woman at noon, and he spoke to Nicodemus at night.
Wow.
Bar Matthias, he spoke to him and evangelized to him on the road. And then Zacchaeus was in a tree. In other words, Jesus didn't let nothing stop him. He was on the road, he preached and he evangelized. At the gas station, he was evangelizing. He seen somebody in the tree, he started to preach to them. He preached in the morning, noon, and night. In the noon to the Samaritan woman, at night to Nicodemus.
Wow.
Peter, he reached on the seashore. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. Even with his dying breath, he was leading people into the kingdom of God. 24/7 evangelism. Non-stop evangelism. 24/7. 365 days a year. Jesus was about winning souls. And if Jesus is about winning souls, then his church should be about winning souls. I must be about my Father's business. My son Frankie turned 12 years old Tuesday. I told him, Frankie, you know what Jesus was doing at 12 years old? He was in seminary school. He was in Bible study. Come on, somebody. And he was telling his Bible teachers, I must be about my Father's business. When should people start winning souls? Listen, Jesus was already talking gospel at 12 years old, my friend. So don't give me that excuse, Christian, that you can't talk about Jesus, that you ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got to know the whole Bible. You ain't got to be a Bible theologian. Just talk about the goodness of God. Talk about how he's been good to you. Talk about how he saved you. Talk about how he delivered you. Talk about how he saved your marriage. Talk about how he set you free from methamphetamine and crack cocaine and heroin and alcohol. Talk about the good news of Jesus. Number three. This is a new phrase I learned that my other son Timothy taught me. Number three is one. I work alone, sister. 1v1. Come on, somebody, but that's good. 1v1. 1v1. One.
Come on.
V.
Uh-oh.
One.
Uh-oh.
You Fortnite people. You Fortnite people. Come on, somebody. I know you're grown, but you're probably still playing Fortnite. See, this is a new saying my son taught me from Fortnite. It basically means one on one.
Yeah.
Huh? One on one. That's what it means. 1v1. One on one. In other words, one versus one. Huh? I want you to know that Jesus did a lot of one-on-one evangelism.
Yes.
Huh? He did a lot of one-on-one evangelism, face-to-face evangelism. Listen, it has been noted that there are 35 times in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 35 times in the Gospels where Jesus took time one-on-one to talk to and minister and evangelize to individual people.
Good.
Huh? 35 times. One-on-one. They were one-on-one. They were like personal interviews that he had with people. Like personal interviews. Imagine having a personal interview with God. Huh? 35 times in the Bible it is written. And that's just what is written. I'm sure there were hundreds of times that he went one-on-one with people. That he went face-to-face with people. That he took time out of his busy schedule. Even though he spoke to large crowds often, he still took time to talk well. He still took time to talk to an individual. He still took time to talk to people on an individual basis. To people like Zacchaeus, like Nicodemus, and to the woman at the well, and the lady caught in adultery, and even Legion.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
All those people, he talked to them one-on-one. It wasn't a mass crusade. It wasn't a big preaching. It wasn't a packed church. Get it out of your head that the only way to evangelize is to preach before a big crowd and a big church. No, there is many times that Jesus went 1v1, one-on-one, personal evangelism, baby. And listen, many of those became mighty evangelists. Many of those became mighty. They were treasures out of darkness. Think about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He went one-on-one with her, but you know what she did? She went and brought a whole city.
Say it again.
Huh? Come on. Think about Legion. He went one-on-one with them, delivered, preached to him, got him saved, set him free. And then the news spread in the Decapolis. Huh? 10 cities, the Bible says. Decapolis. He went and spread it out. That what Jesus had done for him. Huh? Listen, Jesus was a master at one-on-one evangelism. Listen, Jesus, well, he took time out of his day. Jesus' evangelism, it took a personal twist. Why? Because he dealt with individuals in different ways. Why did he do one-on-one evangelism? Because he understood everybody wasn't the same. And so he understood that he needed to deal with the individual, and he couldn't deal with Nicodemus the way he dealt with the woman at the well. He couldn't deal with Legion the way he dealt with the woman caught in adultery. Jesus, he individualized and he dealt with and he ministered and he evangelized to different people in different ways. Think about how he reached you. Your testimony may not be like mine. Your the way you got saved may not be like mine. It doesn't have to be like mine. You know why? Because Jesus personalized it to you. That's why you're saved. That's why you're serving him. Jesus varied his approach according to the person's understanding and according to their needs. We're talking about evangelism. 1v1. Jesus modeled one-on-one evangelism. Listen, the church, you should be doing one-on-one evangelism right now.
Right.
You should be reaching out to your friends that don't know Jesus. You say, listen, take all the friends and all the people in the world, they're buying into the bad news. They're biting hook, line, and sinker to the bad news. What a perfect opportunity for you as a Christian and us as a church to share the good news. And whenever you go around your friends and family, and when they see the boldness of God in you, they look at you and say, are you not afraid? Are you not worried? It's a perfect opportunity to say, I ain't scared, because I got God on my side. I got Jesus on my side. I got the word of God. I got the promises of God. And what I have, you can have it too.
Hello.
Come on, somebody. Now you can have it too if you accept Jesus into your life. This is a good opportunity. People are scared. People are worried. This is an opportunity. There's an open door for the Christian to tell their friends and their loved ones about Jesus. There is an open door for the church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, people's hearts are open. People's minds are open. I know, listen, it's already a month, 2 months into this crisis. And some people, they're getting used to it. They're getting callous to it, my friend. Listen, I know that this virus is real, but I know my God is even more real, and I know my God is even more powerful, and I know that my God has the answer.
Right.
It's time for us to do one-on-one evangelism.
That's right.
It's time for us to do some 1v1s.
Hallelujah.
Who are you going to 1v1 with today? I challenge you tonight to 1v1 somebody. I challenge you this week into 1v1 somebody. I challenge you to live a life of 1v1. One-on-one evangelism. You got that, Timmy? Come on, somebody. You like
good,
that?
Good.
That's for you, my boy. Amen. Number four, Jesus modeled evangelism. Number four, by the model, all lives matter.
Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? His evangelism model was that all lives matter. Huh?
Sure.
All lives matter. For Jesus, all lives mattered. It didn't matter what your race was, as you were black, brown, yellow, Filipino, Asian, Caucasian. It didn't matter. European, Canadian, race didn't matter. It didn't matter if you were rich, poor, middle class, short, tall, skinny, thick, famous, or an ordinary Joe.
Hallelujah.
It didn't matter, because all lives mattered to Jesus. Although Jesus began his ministry among the Jews, he also ministered to the Samaritans, like the woman at the well, and he ministered to the Romans, like the Roman centurion.
Come on.
In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded his followers to make disciples of all nations. This word can also be translated all ethnic groups. Jesus here, he shows his concern for all people.
Right.
He wasn't prejudiced. He was concerned for all people. He wasn't just for Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter. Jesus was all lives matter.
Yes, that's right.
He cared for the poor and he cared for the outcast. He healed the lepers and dined with the tax collectors. He loved those that most people despised. He not only preached grace, he modeled grace. All souls matter to Jesus. We're not here just looking for the drug addict. They say, oh, you're a drug addict church. No, we're not a drug addict church. We're a sinner's church.
Come on.
Let me say that again. We're not just a drug addict church. We're a sinner's church. And the last time I checked my Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We're all sinners. We all need grace. Every single one. From the White House to the crack house, there's everybody's a sinner.
Come on.
Wow.
Even into your house. Everybody's a sinner. And all souls matter to Jesus. The rich, the famous, all races, they all matter to Jesus. And they should all matter to the church. They should all matter. This is why we don't want an all-brown church. We don't just want an all-black church. Our church ain't all brown. Our church ain't all black. And it ain't all white, my friend. There's a lot of churches that are. But I'm proud to say that Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we're a multicultural church, my friend. Because God has called us to reach all nations, all ethnic groups. We're just not a cholo church. God is also bringing in the white collar and the blue collar. Listen, God, and we're just not a middle class church. God is also bringing in the poor and the rich.
Yeah.
All lives matter.
Right.
Number five, the way Jesus modeled evangelism is that he knew he had to zoom in the Father. He had to zoom in to the Father. He had to zoom in to the Father. He had to zoom in to the Father. We have Zoom life groups where we get the people connected to one another. And listen, Jesus, he had to stay connected to the Father. In other words, the reason why his evangelism was so effective, the reason why he was so good at preaching good news, is because he was prayerful. He was prayerful. He stayed connected to the Father. He zoomed in to the Father. Just like you stay connected through your Zoom life groups, Jesus zoomed into the Father. Jesus' life demonstrated the importance of prayer. He would awake early in the mornings to give himself to prayer constantly. Many times in the Bibles and the scriptures, we read that he woke up early in the morning to go off and pray, to go off and zoom in with God, to go off and not be distracted, but to be zoomed in to the presence of God. Listen, if the church is going to spread the gospel, then the church needs to be zoomed in with God. Just like you're tuned in here tonight, you need to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. You need to be tuned in to prayer. You need to be tuned into heaven. You need to be tuned into the Father. You want your marriage to work, you got to pray. You want to be prosperous, you got to pray. You want to have a powerful ministry, you got to pray. You got to be zoomed in to the Father like Jesus was zoomed in to the Father.
Yes.
Prayer is what sustained his ministry. Prayer is what kept his ministry so powerful. Prayer is what made his ministry powerful. The power of the Holy Spirit was all over Jesus' ministry. It was all over his earthly ministry because he was zoomed into prayer with the Father. He was connected to the power source. As I close tonight, the piano player can come up. As I close, and don't zoom out. Stay logged in. It ain't over. It ain't over.
Come on.
The church is to gospelize the world. In other words, we are to spread the good news that Jesus saves. That's what we should be doing, church. This is why we're having our parking lot praise, and we're bringing in evangelist Scott Hinkle.
Amen.
Every other Sunday, we're going to have parking lot praise.
Yes.
You need to invite your friends. You need to invite your family. You need to invite your friends. You need to invite people. You need to bring people. Bring them. So that they can hear the evangelist. So they can hear the gospel. So they can hear the good news.
Amen.
So they can have an opportunity to give their life to Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? The church needs to gospelize the world. Gospelize the world. Spread the word. The media is spreading all their bad news. All their junk. We as a church, we need to spread the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus delivers, that Jesus... Enough with the bad news. It's time for the church to rise up and share the good news with your family, friends, neighbors, and the whole world.
Yes.
You don't need to be a TV reporter or be in a studio. It's like we're in a studio. We got a studio now here at the church. Huh? Well, you don't need to have a studio. Listen, you know that news travels faster through word of mouth? One-on-one. One-on-one. One match lighting another match. Let's counter the bad news that is so prevalent with the gospel. Let us counter-react the bad news. Let us come against that bad news with the good news, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quit listening and believing all that junk and the bad news that the media feeds you. Our God is bigger and mightier. I said it again. Our God is bigger and mightier. See, that bad news that the media spreads, it spreads fear. Fear. You know what fear does? Fear paralyzes. But faith releases. If you're not careful, that fear can overtake you. Don't let fear overtake you because of all the bad news.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what you see, And it doesn't matter what the numbers say.
Come on.
Remember that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
I said we walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
Speak heaven into existence. Speak salvation of your loved ones into existence. Speak life and prosperity into existence. Speak a healthy marriage and a healthy family into existence. And don't forget, God is still good. I said, God is still good all the time. I said, all the time. God is still good all the time, isn't he? Isn't that what we say? Isn't that what we proclaim? God is good all the time. Guess what? It's still time right now. And he's still good right now. Even in the midst of a crisis. Even in the midst of a pandemic. Even in the midst of sickness. Even in the midst of sorrow. God is still good because he is good all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.